exactly 9 o'clock on my calendar. On my watch. Good morning. See, ever since you all started attending staff dev, profiles, you know, Ruth with the curly hair, Zane with the gypsy thing going on, I mean, really. Eto ngayon lang kita nakita na ka-pink na ganyan, your personal brandings are all improving a notch, huh? Hi, Lou. Pwede mo ituro to, Darating ba dito si Josh? Dapat. Any of you were in the Kids Church Summit? Okay, because this is what I taught in the summit. But anyway, so you're going to hear it again. Okay, I have the privilege over the last 8 years to learn what I'm about to talk to you the hard way. I don't think I was ever trained on this material, at least in school. And however, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about is quite instinctive. So let me go ahead and talk to you about what I'm trying to call creating culture. Let me give you guys a backdrop of this now. So I'm trying to not use the word branding. Okay, though your material says basic branding, which is okay, because that's the material naman talaga. Okay, but what I'm trying to do is this, and I'm explaining it to you so you guys can give me feedback afterwards. My first time to actually teach this way was at the Kids Church Summit. Since we started doing this, I've been reading up on branding, trying to help educate the organization on branding based on what I'm learning. And this has gone through several iterations of correct updates. Sarah and Lou have heard probably three or four versions of this. Okay, so, and what I've tried to do, I have a course that I teach in the School of Local Church Ministry and Church Planting that is a much longer version of this. Okay, and the conclusion I got after teaching it twice already in the School of Local Church Ministry is the average church pastor or church member doesn't get the concept of branding. And to be quite candid, it's good that they don't, because they're supposed to be focused on the ministry of the word and prayer. Okay, so however, there is a reality to it that we need to live out in the organization. And when I had the privilege to join Miss Gigi and Miss Pinky at a consultation in Singapore, I met a consultant who consults for the top level of Shell, who's a Christian believer, who helped consult with us for our challenges in our organization. And one of the first things he really sat down and told me was how I needed to learn to base a lot of my principles and concepts on the Word of God. That whenever I read business books, any kind of business book, no matter how good it is and how well recommended it is by New York Times or bestseller list, this and that, he said this. He said, every business book is built on a world system. Everyone, every single one of them. You need to be conscious what you're absorbing, because they're all based and built on a basic premise, and they may not be biblical. And so he hands me a Bible, and he says, learn to lead with this. And that challenged me, stopped me, because I'm a big Peter Drucker fan. I love reading Jim Collins. Everybody here talks about, I'm a Lencioni advocate, you know, so parang natauhan ako ng onte. Parang it really made me question. I go, whenever there's a business solution or a challenge in the organization that I'm needing to figure out a solution for, do I default to going to Scripture? Do I really believe God's Word has every answer to every situation that I need? And that really brought me to a new perspective. And so what I did was right after I taught this material to Sila Lou and Sarah, one big go around. Right after that, I got home from that consultation and I basically looked at my manual and I thrashed it and I said, okay, I'm going to start this from scratch and look at it from Scripture. Does the Scripture validate this idea of branding? You know, does the Bible talk about this? Can I build my job and job responsibility on the basis of what the Bible says? And that's where I started off with. So everybody getting context to why I'm approaching it the way it is. Okay, so part of what I'd really like to ask here is, this is my second time to teach this, and now I actually get the chance to get feedback. I got good feedback from the Kids Church Summit. But all it is wow, again. So I haven't really gotten any interface in terms of whether it works and applies in our real context. So later on, I would like to hear pushback, challenges, questions, and tell me, like, does it make sense? Am I able to get the message across? And is Scripture clear enough? Okay, good. So I'm kind of titling this Creating Culture because the average pastor prefers the idea of culture than the idea of branding. Okay, so, but the whole idea of culture is, culture is the attitude or behavioral characteristics of a certain group of people. Everybody has a culture. Every small tribe has a unique culture to it. Ortigas has a unique culture. Malate, when you shift just local congregation, it's a totally different culture. Interestingly enough, within the fort, for example, you go to a certain congregation, the culture is very different from the next one. The service times are actually have a particular culture to it already. Okay, there's particular sets of norms and practices and behaviors that exist. Okay, now culture is what happens when our mission, our vision, our values are lived out and everybody's starting to do it. When somebody comes in, they start to norm and figure out, okay, how are things done here? And then they start following. When you can figure out that what that is easily and then follow along quickly, you have a strong, dominant culture. Okay? Culture is, at the end of the day, the byproduct of consistent behavior. And I think that's where our leadership has really done a great job, because they have, over the last 29 years, we're about to celebrate our 30th anniversary next year. Okay? So I'd like to recruit all of you already now to help me run the 30th anniversary conference. So you're all getting trained now so that you can help me next year. But by the grace of God, we've been able to be consistent in who we are and what we've been trying to do. So much so that somebody who's joined us only in the last year kind of can't miss what we're about. And no matter what context they came from, when they come on board, they can articulate in their own words who we are and what we're about, which tells us we have a strong culture. And I'm really excited about that. Now, here's the whole premise of when I went into the Scriptures and I said, okay, I got to learn if what the Bible has to say about what I've been doing for the last 8 years. This is the big verse that really jumped out for me. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. This is the story of Samuel trying to find a replacement king for Saul. If you remember the story, Saul had already just fallen from grace from God, and God said, I feel sad that I made Saul king. You know, what a sad verse to hear. Okay, but here he is now looking, and he gets sent to the house of Jesse to find the replacement king. The first son comes out, and he's an impressive man. Samuel immediately looks at him and says, surely the new king is in front of me. If you remember, Saul, kasi, was a very impressive figure. A head taller than everyone, handsome. The scripture speaks very highly of the physical appearance of Saul. But the Bible says here, the Lord said to Samuel in chapter 16, verse 7, and this is a verse I think a lot of us love. Okay, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And isn't it amazing that God is a God who looks at our hearts? We all look at that. We love that. Because of that, all of the other brothers of David were passed over. No, not you. Until the last, everybody was already there. The one that the father didn't even bother to call was the one God was waiting for. It speaks so highly of how each one of us, you know. In basketball, I was never the first draft. To be quite candid, I was not even in the last draft, okay? And they would never put me in the list. And for much of life, that's how it is for us. I just find that so amazing that we would never be God's first, parang the average person's first pick, I think. But it's amazing how to God we are his first pick. I love that. And it's such a personal verse for me. And one day I was reading this verse, and when I was reading this verse, this portion of the scripture started to highlight for me, because how many of you know the Bible is true? And the word of God says, the Lord looks at the heart. And I love that. Yet, God said, Carlos, read the verse again. You know, in my heart, it's like, read the verse again. When I was reading the verse again, I said, he said, my word is true. This verse is true. And I was looking at it. What do you mean? What do you mean? And then this part of the verse started to show up for me. Most of us jump to the second part of the verse. And we draw meaning and value from that part. The Lord looks at the heart. And I love that. But the truth is, the first part of the verse is equally true. The first part of the verse matters. And what the Bible tells us is man looks at the outward appearance. And you know, I was thinking about it, and I said, wow, that's actually kind of true. And as much as I'd love to not be so, what's the word? Basing things on outward things, the truth is that's the only way I can judge things. I mean, you tell me you intended to do something, there's no way for me to actually check and see if you really intended to do that or not. You've heard it said before about we always judge other people by their actions and we always judge ourselves by our intentions. You know, for some reason, whenever it comes to dealing with other individuals, the best that we have to deal with is the actions, what they actually do, the outward. We have no way of measuring their heart. Okay, which is why discernment of spirits and discernment of hearts is actually the gift of the Holy Spirit by the word of knowledge, you know. But in general, we are unable to. Okay, and if, here's the thought here. If we're trying to build what and do what we're doing so that we can reach out to God, then our hearts are all that's needed. But if we're trying to build a situation, build an organization that will reach out to a lost world, then we need to be conscious that the first part of the sentence is true. The people we're reaching out to look at the outward things. The people we're trying to minister to and engage, it matters to them that we start at 9 o'clock when the service schedule on your website says 9 o'clock. For that matter, when they Google you, the website shows up. And when they click the link, it actually loads. These are the basic things that kind of tell you, medyo legitimate yata yung grupo na to. Okay? At the end of the day, the only thing they have to base it, it's not, mukha naman okay, kasi yung picture ng pastor okay. Parang ganyan yung, at the end of the day, the only thing they have to base it on is what they are able to see, touch, feel, hear, even taste, if you will. Man looks at the outward appearance. Okay, because the people we're trying to reach are not God. We cannot discern the hearts and intents of men. Therefore, we have no other recourse but to rely on the outward, on the things we say and do that man can experience. So, I'm gonna give you this is a three-part presentation. So the first part, I'll talk about what do I mean when I say man looks at the outward. There are gonna be two things, and then at the end of it, I'll give you practicals on who we are and what we're doing and how we go about doing things. Okay, so here's the outline. Two areas that people consider when they think about us. Okay, when they deal with us, remember that they look at the outward. Because of that, first, that means they evaluate our reputation. And second, they evaluate their experience of you, their experience of us. Okay, these are the two areas that people consider when they interface with us and evaluate whether they think, I attended the service once, okay, ano ba yung reputation ng taong, ng grupong to? And then the second thing they do is, how did I feel afterwards? How did this group make me feel? And based on these two major things, they make decisions on whether they're going to come back or not. Does that make sense? You've all done that as well. The first time you went to a restaurant. If you're gonna separate from your hard-earned 500 pesos, one, you Google, you go to Click a City, you go to Spot PH, you go to Munch Punch, you go to all of these places that have reviews, and you know, if you downloaded the app Lulu, you know. But you're doing now is you're trying to figure out okay, what did everybody else say about this? Well, you know what you're doing? You're doing looking at reputation. That's what you're doing. Because, you know, it's 500 pesos is hard to come by now. So, you know, I want to make sure if I'm going to spend 500 pesos on a meal, it better be good, you know? So you're getting current reputation. And then you go there yourself. Sometimes the reputation's mixed. So you got to, ano ba, do I believe what this group's saying? Do I believe what this group's saying? And then you go. And then you experience. When you experience, you make your own conclusions. Now, if you're a foodie who blogs or takes photos and posts, then you're adding to the reputation list. Diba? By adding your 2 cents worth into the internet world. Okay, so let's tackle the first one. And the first part of today will be, the first R will be on the reputation. Second R will be on experience. The third R will be on us specifically as an organization. So our reputation. But that's, what does the Bible say about this? First, Proverbs 22 verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. It's a beautiful passage. Maybe, you know, talagang something for me to learn to think of. You know, the, will my daughters feel good? And will they be able to stand up there and say, I am an Antonio? You know, am I able to, are they able to inherit a good name from me? It's more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. And by the grace of God as a ministry, we have a good name. We actually have a good name. PCEC, the people in PCEC think very highly of us. Whenever a local church in a smaller setting hear about, oh, Victory is going to be part of that, parang merong reputation agad eh. Parang, wow, okay ah, yung ganun, di ba? We're considered a mega church, which I don't think we've ever said out loud. And they call us a mega church. You know, as far as we're concerned, as long as there's one person out there that isn't even saved, we don't even care how many we are in right now. Do you remember? How come we can't get that one guy? That's how we think. Yeah, and by the grace of God, we've been able to keep that. But because of our emphasis on that, we have a pretty good name when it comes to the organization. Okay? To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 10, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. That's a pretty good one. You know, what we think of things being a blessing, the memory, good memory, when they think about us and they have fondness. You know, in our small group, sometimes we have questions like, what's your favorite food growing up? And you know, it's always interesting whenever I ask questions like that, like, what's your favorite food growing up? You can't, when you think about it, you can't help but smile. It immediately causes you to smile. It's like, so nalalasahan mo na siya. Tinatakam-takam mo siya. Sarap. You know, good memories are a blessing. And I think that's very, very interesting that as it comes to our reputation. When people have good experiences and with us, when they think about us, they remember something good. It brings a smile onto their face. That's a good question for us to consider. Are people's memories of us good? When they remember us, do we think that was such a blessing? I hope so. My StrengthsFinder theme is deliberative, so I'm always wondering if that's what happened. Okay, so anyway. But the name of the wicked will rot. Anyway, okay, so. All right, now next, Ecclesiastes 7. Okay, a good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. At the end of the day, what you have is a name. And, you know, our current president, we think a lot of the reason he came into position was because he benefited immensely from a good name. Right? There's a lot of conversation going on right now with his cousin, tamamba, or his nephew, I forget, what's the relationship line? His nephew, Bam, who's running now, who everybody's saying is actually more of a statesman than our current president himself. Okay, social entrepreneur to begin with, has actually done a lot of leadership responsibility, this and that, and so there's a lot of hope, but he is also benefiting from the name. Okay, and a good reputation matters in this age. Even if something negative gets said about Bam, guess what? Most of us will deflect it, even though we don't know him personally. Nah, hindi, pero and we will defend first, not agree first with a negative opinion. It's very interesting. You know why? Because there's so long established good reputation with the name. And if we do that with our organization, we benefit from that as well. If somebody says something negative about Victory, you know, most of the Victory ganito yan. If the people in Victory, their long-term experience with us isn't like that, they'll be the first people to go, talaga, I've never experienced that. That's not how I know them. And our own members will be the first ones to push against any possible negative opinion. Okay? So here's a question. Okay, who do you see? Here we go. Who do you see? How many of you see a young lady? Show of hands. Okay. How have you saw an old lady? Okay. Follow the nose. There's the young lady. That's her nose. See it? She's looking back. Can you see it, your son? There's a feather on her head. This is her hair. She's looking back. This is her ear. That's her nose, her eyelashes. She's looking this way. Very Audrey Hepburnish. She's just like staring backwards. Yeah. Okay. So she doesn't have a double chin. Now, the ones who saw the young lady, can you see the old lady? This is her mouth. Can you see it now? Some of you, can you see it? That's her nose. She has a pretty big... That's her eyes. She's looking this way. Can you see it now? Okay, so who was right? We were both right. And this is an illustration on image, the whole idea that when we look at something, what registers to us is what we see. And sometimes when we see one, we don't see the other. Image is very relative, and it takes a lot of effort for you to, okay, wait, because I'm so used to seeing, in my case, I see the old lady first. It takes me a second to reorient, and I go, okay, I can see the young lady now. But my instinct is to see the old lady. For some of us, that's what's happening, and we're really struggling. Okay, where is the young lady here? Okay, where is the old woman here? Okay, in the same way, what's challenging about the idea of building a good name, having a good reputation, is it's ultimately about what they say about us, not what we say about ourselves. That's where it becomes tricky. Because I can show you, this is who we are, and you perceive it, and you go, no, that's not what I see. I have an uncle who has never walked into a Victory service. Never. Absolutely never. Never. But he has strong opinions on who we are and what we do. One time he sat me down and he looked at me, Carlos, you went to the university, right? I go, yes, Tito. They better be paying you well, huh? What are you talking about? He goes, that Victory kasi, it's all about money. He's never walked into a single one of us. Our services, our facilities. They better be paying you well. Okay, Tito. You know, so, and what it is the guy has an opinion. And guess what? It's going to take a lot of effort to break that perspective. Okay? So that's when I first joined the ministry. That's when I went full time. I moved from a call center job to campus minister. He really sat me down, you know, and explained himself to me. So, interestingly enough, what they say, we can actually manage to a certain degree. Ultimately, what they conclude will be theirs, and we cannot change that. But if we act a certain way, we can actually help manage the possible end conclusion. And that's what we're talking about now. So, what is it that we're managing? To help us understand what we're managing and the difference, and how to manage it, we need to understand the difference of three words. Okay? Identity, image, and reputation. Let's start with identity. Identity is who we really are and what we're really about. You've all heard us, you know, talk about that at identity. If you've been to Victory Week and you've taught this, we talk about the whole idea of identity. Identity is who you really are. Okay, that's your name, your attributes, your distinctives, it's your character, it's your personality combined. Okay, in the case of an organization, this involves us being very intentional about the way we communicate certain things. Okay, how we come across. It's conveyed through, obviously, basically first one, the name. Okay, why did Kentucky Fried Chicken start branding themselves, communicating themselves as KFC? Okay, that's very specific. There's a very real reason for that. Why did they move from Federal Express to FedEx? There's a very real, it seems arbitrary, but it's not. There's a real reason behind it. Why have the pastors been working very hard to try to get our people to stop using VCF and just start calling us Victory? Okay, Victory. Okay, I can actually date how long you've been in church based on whether you say VCF or Victory. Because everybody else who's joined us in 2005 upwards have called us Victory. I can tell that you've been with us a while, particularly in the 90s, because you call us VCF. Okay, so anyway. So, not just that, it's the logo, it's our motto, it's our products, it's our uniforms. Do you know that when I joined the ministry, I was always in long sleeves and ties when I would usher? When I would lead worship, it was a big deal for me to remove my tie. When we joined the School of World Missions, we got a memo from Mags. Some of you don't know who Mags is, but in her last year with us, she made it a point to make sure batch 9 of the School of World Missions got 9 memos. And so we got 9 memos. So one of those memos was about us not wearing ties. Pastor Steve actually sent Robert Hearn out. Zane, that was your first year, right? He sent Robert Hearn out to go to Robinson's Galleria with money from his own pocket to buy every single one of us campus ministers' ties. Because he was concerned about the stature we were communicating. If we were going to be the next level of leaders, we didn't look very impressive. We didn't look like people would willingly follow us. We came across like, you know, we were a bunch of young kids who didn't know what we were doing. Now, notice this. Somewhere in here, we shifted and our pastor started wearing jeans. What happened? When Pastor Steve was a young pastor, he dressed up. Why? Because his congregation was starting to bring parents. And as a 25-year-old pastor, he needed to come across mature, and a 40-year-old parent would look at him and say, I can listen to you. Make sense? And so he was very conscious about every person coming on board. And who were the people coming on board? Everybody was younger than him. So he made a conscious effort to make sure everybody who was anybody on stage or on any role of leadership or any kind of experience came across as believable and as having a certain stature, as coming across as reputable. That was the whole responsibility. When they started going mid-40s, and their target audience remained, bulk of the Victory's audience consists at 20 to 30. Okay? Like, a big chunk of Victory's congregation is in that age range. Okay? They started to dress down to remain relatable. Now, they did not want to come across like a grandparent. They did not want to come across as this old person up there who has opinions on how I live, but I don't relate to them because they don't relate with my world. Instead, you have people like Gilbert Foliente who can walk into a campus and still come across very hip and very young. And that's a superpower. I don't know how he does that. Okay, but the reason that works is because they're conscious of, okay, this is who we are. At the end of the day, Victory's target has always been young people. It's always been a certain group of individuals. And when we start moving away from that, we need to make changes to how we do things so we remain relatable to that. It's interesting why some of you here, your worship services coordinators, you listen to a song and you go, that song is good for our youth service, not for the regular service. And then at the same token, you go, that song's too old for our regular service. Where are you coming from when you make that decision? Somewhere in there, you know who we are. You may not be able to put it into words, but there's a filter system in your process, you're thinking, too old, too young. Okay, that's victory. Somewhere in there, because you know who we are. But all of these things combined make us, build us an identity. Okay, second one is image. Here's how you're perceived by other people. Okay, image is how you're currently perceived by others. It's a total impression an organization makes in the minds of people, your identity as defined by other people. Okay, when you are driving down, let's say, you're going home to the province, like many of us will do next week, you're driving by, there are a lot of signs trying to get you to stop and eat in the restaurant. But you know where you're going to stop? McDo, Jollibee, Starbucks, okay, KFC, Chowking. Those are going to be your options. Okay, you're about to load gas. There's a lot of gas stations. But you'll probably stop at Shell. Okay? Why? Why Shell? Even though when you're here, you get Petron. Okay, why? It's TSONI, sorry. I know we have Petron promo thing going on with Real Life. But we will stop at Shell. Why? Because we know Shell has clean restrooms. So Petron and Caltex, it's hit and miss. Sometimes they're clean, sometimes they're not. Shell, clean restrooms. Okay? So when you look at another gas station and you pass it by, you have no idea what it is. That's the first time you've experienced that logo. Guess what? Nothing in you is going, ooh, can't wait to give that a try. Okay? Okay, you have no context whatsoever. So you're looking for the logos you're used to. At the end of the day, where is that coming from? Whatever it is, it's coming from a combination of previous experience and your current held beliefs about certain logos. Somewhere in there, whether it's true or not, you think, Shell na lang. You look at a new logo, a new organization, you think, parang hindi yata masarap yung pagkain dyan. Huwag na lang. Walang mga ibang kotse. Huwag na lang. You know, and you immediately pass over other restaurant options. Okay? People often have perceptions about a group or a company even before they interact with it. Okay? Perceptions are built by what they see, hear, read, experience when they touch. So, when you go to a grocery store, supermarket, you're on a lane, and you're about to buy a new, let's say, hot dog. There's a new brand on there. Okay? Let's say, diba, when Bebo first came out. Okay? Or, ano yung bago ngayon? Virginia? Okay. So, kasi ako, I don't know. I always go for Pure Food Center. I just go, by default, Pure Food Center. If I'm gonna spend on processed meat, it's gonna be Pure Foods. Okay? Extra red. Even Mighty Meat is unable to compete. Okay, but when you first experience that, and I give you Virginia hot dogs or Bebo, most of you will go, ano to? Okay? And most of you won't even want to taste it. And by default, you're comparing it to Tender Juicy. Parang iba lasa. Parang mapula masyado. And we have weird reasons for liking and not liking something. Okay? Even before you actually interface with the taste, you've already said no to the product. Based on what? Name, packaging, pricing. A combination of all of these things. Where in the aisle was it? Kapag medyo nasa taas, kapag it's line of sight, that's the one that sells the most. Okay, parang, or binayaran yan. They're trying to promote it. Okay? So yung mga bumibentang talagang hinahanap ng mga tao, binababa nila yan. Kasi nahihirapan hahanapin ng tao kasi yun yung hinahanap nila. Okay? There's so many versions of, what's the word? Choknat now? They all look the same. And you grab it without paying attention. And you, ano to, honey? Parang kaya, ano nangyari dito? Di ba parang ganun? And, it, you know, for the most part, they all kind of taste the same. No, they don't. They do. But Choknat enthusiasts will tell you, no, it's different. It's absolutely different. I know, Carlos, you can.
Sound. Yeah. I guess, Pastor Carlos, I mean, just an insight on the Pure Foods thing. I think that's also the reason why they never change. I mean, right now, Purefus is century, right? But if you call that those has century to hot dog, it would not cross.
That's right.
Yeah, so they still call it Purefus, even though it's no longer there.
That's right. And I'm betting they are absolutely bored stiff with the blue packaging. Right? But they will never change that. Because when you walk down the aisle, you only have 5 seconds to make a decision because you're running and you're rushing and you're just skimming the aisle for the blue color. And so most of us are dead tired of our victory blue. I'll be the first one. But in the words of our founder, Pastor Steve, you can be creative on everything else but our logo. Okay. Yeah, I'll talk about that later. Okay. The only people who have the right to change it are the people who have the right to change it. After interacting with the organization, these perceptions may change. Like some of you here prefer Mighty Meaty to Pure Foods. You'll have to explain yourself why in a 2-page essay later. Why? Like, see, but those perceptions may change if you experience it. Okay, but the mere image, some people decide based on that completely na. Okay, there's a SNR, see, Gans made us taste this delicioso corned beef. So, binibenta sa SNR. I passed that in SNR, delicioso, wow, lousy name, but I moved on. So Gans said, you better try this, you better try it. So we all tried it, I was like, oh, malasa to ah. Delicioso siya. And so now, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, next time I pass SNR, I'm looking for this delicioso thing, right? So anyway, so it can change if you actually experience it. But more often than not, most people decide without even trying to experience it. Most people are not as adventurous kasi. Okay? That brings us to the third one, reputation. It's how you're perceived by others over time. Okay, the thing about reputation is it's already built on some kind of experience. And now if that experience is good, then fantastic. If the experience is not good, patay ka. Because the thing about reputation, it's very hard to change. Somebody says it takes around 18 interactions with a person to change your first impression of them. 18 interactions to change a first impression. And what if you have a reputation for starting your services late? Reputation, ah, not image. You have the reputation for starting your services late. How consistent do you need to be to change that? Or not ending on time. It's a good one. Yeah. Same thing. Think about it. Okay? So, here's the thought process. This is who we really are. It's our identity. Oop, press it twice. All right. Our identity, that's everything. Who we really are, okay, is perceived by everybody around us, the people who get invited, the actual members, the community that lives around us, and us ourselves, the staff, the team, tayo. And the sum total of all of that combined is our reputation. Does that make sense? Here's the topic. Not these two. Because we can know who we are, and people can have whatever image they have about us. And we can't change image kasi. But we can work on building a strong reputation. Okay? How? Okay? How do we do that? Well, here's how we do it. As long as we know who we are, they will eventually figure it out. The the only way to build a strong reputation is to be consistent with your identity. The whole idea of integrity matters at this point in an organization. If we are not a people of integrity, there's going to be confusion in the reputation. Okay? Now, in an organization like ours, where in Victory we have over 100 services, at any one time, one person's perspective on all of us was based on that one interaction with that one service, where that one PowerPoint never showed up. They were trying to sing a song because they liked it, and the lyrics never showed up. And all it did was make them feel like, I'm an outsider here because everybody else is singing, and I can't. So that's the only time they were in service, the only experience they have. Guess what? They've judged all of us. Why does it matter? Because man can only look at the outward. The more we walk our talk, the more our talk, the talk of other people will be about our walk. If we live this out well every day, again and again, people will talk about how we're living. Eventually, how we're living and the talk about how we're living will overpower whatever first impression they got. Church of the rich, church of the stars, they interface with us long enough. Hindi. You'd be surprised. They have a ministry to taxi drivers. Does that make sense? It takes a lot of encounters to make those things change. But as long as we keep living, what are we going to do? Try to actively change everybody's opinion? No, just live who you are. And do that again and again and again. It's only going to be a matter of time. They're going to, you know what? I used to think they were like this, but they're not. They're the first people to turn into brand advocates. Okay? I don't know if this picture will be as powerful as when I first placed it here, but wait, I press it again. Just how excited are you to open this gift? Really, you can't see the logo because it's a bit too white, but that's an Apple logo over there. Okay, so when I first got the box that this phone came in, I'll honestly, candidly admit, it was akin to worship. I washed my hands, quieted the room, sat down, and then opened it. And I admit, kilig na kilig ako, here we go. And then about 2 weeks, I didn't take out the plastic on front. Kind of embarrassing because it was covering the, you know, so I couldn't really hear properly. But okay lang because I didn't want to get scratched. You know why it was so exciting? Because somewhere in here, this group knows that people look at the outward. And they can command a slightly higher price because the people who like buying it like the experience combined with it. And there's something about the reputation already. Now, that reputation is slightly, slowly adjusting. It hasn't kind of gotten there yet since Steve Jobs. Everybody's watching and waiting. I'll be the first to admit I am too. Okay, trying to figure out, can they figure themselves out post-Steve Jobs? It's an interesting thing to watch. Okay, but as of now, it's still pretty cool. Even the people who are now slowly shifting to Samsung, for example, the traitor, Pastor Joey Bonifacio. No, I'm kidding. I haven't seen him in a while. I miss my boss. But because he was the one who convinced me to shift to a Mac. Okay? He was the one. And then next thing I know, he's posting about why Samsung is better. So we go, traitor! Okay, so. still works for me. Even though so many people are, you know, blah, wala na yan, Apple, everybody's still waiting for the upcoming keynote presentation where everybody's thinking the 5S is about to get announced. Everybody's still waiting. You know why? Because the reputation's still strong. It's still going to take a few more misses before Apple's name breaks down to a place where it's no longer, it used to be, kumbaga, it has a potential to be Nokia now. If they don't fix what they're doing, they can turn into Nokia. like the average person now who has a Nokia gets embarrassed that they have a Nokia when they're holding it. You're gonna pinalabas. Okay, Samsung is the new kid in the block. Okay, so, but anyway. So cultivate a strong reputation. How? Simple. Know who you are. Two, act in a way that's consistent with who you are. And three, be very, very rigorous in eliminating anything that causes people to perceive you as otherwise. The Bible tells us to live beyond reproach. That we're to act in a way consistent with our calling. To live a life worthy of Christ. We're commanded to do this. In preaching, we talk about that. Is it possible that the reason some people in the world have not gotten saved is not because of Jesus, but because of us? That's what Gandhi said. Jesus I like. It's you Christians that I don't get. If I saw more Christians do what their founder did, I would be a Christian today. And that's a paraphrase, but that's kind of what he said. I constantly battle with that. When I sat down with the team that was working on the Discipleship 2013 stuff, I sat them down and I said, what I do not want to hear in any one of these videos or testimonies is that victory is awesome. It's one of the first things I sat down with the team. I don't want to hear a single pastor's name. I don't care what congregation they're from. I don't even want a mention of victory. The church is what, you know, thank you. And voila. It's going to be about God and what Jesus did in their life. That's going to be where it's going to be. And if we get that done, we're good. If we don't get that, we're not showing that video. Ganun, as in, so napipressure yung video team. Okay, we gotta reshoot that. We gotta voice over that person. Parang ganun, nagkakagulo kami up to the week. Okay, but why was I so particular about that? Because we need to be consistent with who we are. And who we are is we are a group that first thinks honor God. Naglulokohan kami. Later you'll see that. Kasi paiksi ng paiksi yung mission statement natin. Okay, so sabi namin, if right now it's really short, honor God, make disciples. Apat na salita na lang. Sabi ni Pastor Steve, the reason that is because we're getting older and we're forgetting the longer one. That's his description of what's happening. He said, the time will come, it'll just be God. And if ever it gets there, we're still good. If it gets there, we're still good. We gotta be consistent with who we are. Okay? That's why we need to be ruthless. Not Ruth. Okay? We need to be ruthless in eliminating anything that detracts from that. Okay? So, here's a quick discussion. And then we're gonna take a break. Okay? How is the ministry currently perceived or described in your community? Why do you think that is? It makes for an interesting discussion. So whether, if you live in a church environment, then talk church. If you live in a real life environment, then go talk real life. Okay, if you live in a every nation environment, then talk every nation. But how are you perceived? Okay, why do you think that is? And then the second question is this, what kind of reputation do you want? If right now it's being perceived this way, are you okay with that? Or do you want another one? Describe the reputation that you want to have. How can you help cultivate that right now? Okay, good. So we'll spend 10 minutes. We'll go right into the break. So 9:49 now. So 10 minutes, talk about it. After that, I'll take a break. Then we'll come back. We'll answer the question. And then I'll hear opinions from the group. Okay? Discuss now. Thanks.